This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora tātou and welcome along to Aratoi On Air, your fortnightly arts and culture show brought to you by the Creative Partnerships team at the Dunedin City Council. My name is Sean Norling. I'm joined by my colleague Nick Tipa.
Kia ora koutou, lovely to be here.
Every fortnight we're telling stories about what's happening on the ground in Otipoti, arts and culture-wise, putting a spotlight on practitioners, organisations, people just doing really cool stuff in that creative space. This is our second show in season two and we're beyond thrilled to be bringing it to you. Yeah, what's on the show today? Well, we have two interviews coming up today. First up, we'll be talking to Lynn, the president of the Otago Bonsai Association, about their show down there at the Otipoti Dunedin Community Gallery, the history of the association itself, and other things along the way. And then our colleague Amy Tawa presents an interview with Doris Lancaster from the Wakari Art Group, their kaupapa over there in Wakari and what they've been getting up to recently. So two really cool chats. In the studio right now, though, we're joined by Lynn. Kia ora, Lynn.
Kia ora, and thank you for the invitation. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here. The Otago Bonsai Society set up in 1979. That's a pretty good run. That's, what, nearly 50 years, isn't it?
Yep, we're thinking about time to have our 50th. We had our 40th, obviously, 8 years ago.
Whenever that was, yeah.
Yeah, so again, we will be looking to do something to celebrate our 50th because it is, quite a good milestone.
It's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tree-shaped cake, no doubt. When did you join up with Otago Bonsai Association, Lynn?
Me, I have always, well, for a long time I've had an interest in bonsai and now regret not joining earlier. But I joined in 2008 when they held an exhibition, as we're about to hold, and they had a workshop and joined the club and have not looked back. I personally have found being part of a club very beneficial because you've got friendly people happy to show you and help you, and it's very hands-on. So, yeah.
Beyond the bonsai, it's about the people and the feeling of community and that common.
Beyond the bonsai is a great name for your 50th.
Beyond the bonsai.
It's free party. Beyond
there you go. Take that one. It's free.
I know a lot of our, we've got members who have been there. I'm not sure that we quite have any from beginnings, but certainly the early days. And they used to go on trips away and collect trees and rocks. And I unfortunately came in on the tail end of that. So the last trip that we did as a club was we went down to Invercargill, actually just out of Winton. There's a potter down there. She's also a bonsai artist. We bought probably all of her pots and then went through to Invercargill, bought trees and stayed the night and came back. And again, it was just as much the camaraderie of the people as an opportunity to get some good material to work on.
You do have regular kind of programmed events though, do you? A biannual exhibition?
We try to have an exhibition every couple of years. We, as a club, we meet on effectively the first Tuesday of every month and have a program there where we have either demonstrations or workshops. And we also have our Tree of the Month at those.
Tree of the Month.
Well, Jimmy's that, mince pie for the winner.
Well, we are competing for a trophy if you're that way inclined. But again, we have different themes. So last month it was the native for which we have a trophy.
I see in my notes that you are the donator of the New Zealand Natty Trophy 2023.
Yes, I did donate a trophy.
Proud of you, mate. That's a lovely thing.
Well, I think it would be nice for us to be using our natives. I mean, when you think of bonsai, you think more of the probably Chinese and Japanese, the pines, the maples, the other species that aren't so much native to New Zealand. But we've got some nice trees here. I mean, Kowhai is, you know, one of ones that we've got.
Kowhai, and you can get the smaller, I think they're called dwarf Kowhai or...
Oh, there's so many
bunch of varieties, isn't there?
Yeah, there's so many different species. But again, you're starting with a small leaf, and that's a bonus for starting with bonsai because you don't want your large leaf. Like, there are ways of reducing a leaf.
But what other native species are good for bonsai?
Karokia, like I say, kowhai. What you have to be wary of is the manuka and kanuka would be nice, but they don't like their roots disturbed. And that is something that you do have to
be considerate toward the plant.
Yeah. So, and that's our aim, is always the health of the tree. Whatever we're doing on it, we wouldn't work on a sick tree. And whatever we do to it, we need to not over, like, you don't want to over remove the foliage or disturb the roots too much, because you want your tree to survive.
That's right. You're caring for it in a lot of ways, aren't you? Yeah. You're the custodian, so you want to make sure it's happy and healthy and little.
Well, yeah, say little. I mean, I still remember a magazine I read early on, and here was this beautiful looking bonsai, and turned over the page, and here's the guy standing on a chair pruning it. I mean, bonsai aren't entirely small. There are different size categories. I mean,
are there parameters to traditionally in the way how high one bonsai can be?
I mean, probably the upper class. I don't know that there is a size limit. It's more it's a two people carry tree. But again, you can go through different sizes. At our club, we have Mamae, which is the small, which is 10 centimetres from the rim of the pot to the top of the tree. And the next size up is Shohin, which is 20 centimetres. Oh. So again, you're still trying to have a mature tree. And it can be in any of the styles. It's just, that's a size restriction. So we will have a Shohin display at the exhibition this weekend. Again, with Shohin, you normally don't just display a single tree, but they're normal in groups of threes or fives. And usually we traditionally talk in terms of odd numbers as well when we're doing displays.
In doing my research, I saw there were four traditional styles of bonsai: formal, upright, informal, upright, slant, and cascade. Do you have a particular favourite amongst that group?
Well, I would say in my collection, I don't have a formal upright because it is dead straight up, no bending in the trunk whatsoever. Most of mine probably fall in the informal, and probably a couple of my favourite trees are in the informal style.
Informal is a style of trees incorporating visible curves in trunk and branches, but the apex of the informal upright is located directly above the trunk's entry into the soil line.
Usually.
Fascinating stuff, isn't it?
But I mean, there's a lot more styles than that, particularly here. If windswept is a classic style for Otago, you go out on peninsula and you'll see these trees that are bent over. And again, we can recreate that.
Yeah.
And there's some impressive, in our club, there's some people with some impressive looking windswept styles.
Yeah, incredible silhouettes to those little creatures, isn't there? The exhibition runs through till Sunday this week. Entry is free for children and $5 for general members of public.
Yep.
What are people going to, what can people kind of expect to see when they walk through the door?
Well, we're going to have an exhibition of trees, and there'll be different styles, different species. Like I say, we're going to have a Shohin, particular area for Shohin. We also have tradespeople. So we've got four local people who will be, three of them will be selling bonsai trees, and one is a potter, and she is getting into making bonsai pots. So they will be available for people when they come in. As we always have, we have the people's choice. So when you come into the show, you get a little ticket, and all of our bonsais have a number beside them. So you can go around and say what one you like. And that's always interesting to see what the public want. We also will be running three raffles. We have a Kofi group planting, which is about 10 years old. We have a pot from our potter, and we also have a signed book from a lady up in Christchurch. It's a very good beginner's book because it also it also takes into consideration New Zealand conditions, and that's something you have to think about when reading or discussing bonsai. Is we're talking about the conditions that apply, and here in Dunedin is different from here in Auckland as well. So can create, you know, you just have to be aware of that.
Of course. Well, the Otago Bonsai Society exhibition happens 3rd through 5th of April down at the Dunedin Community Gallery on Princess Street. It opens at 10 a.m. and runs through to 5 p.m. on Sunday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. sales, raffles, and general, I think.
Again, if you want any questions, there'll be people there that you can have a chat to. We are also looking to run a beginner's class in a different style than we've done previously, which will start later in the year, and it'll be a 6-week course.
Fantastic.
And so you can sign up for that. So there'll be info there, but there'll be somebody there to chat to explain everything or anything, hopefully. And hopefully I'd love to see you.
Thanks so much for your time, Lynn, and congratulations on what looks to be a really fascinating and lovely exhibition. Lynn from the Otago Bonsai Society. We'll be back in just a tick with that interview with Doris Lancaster from the Wakari Art Group.
Together with the Wakari Art Group Committee, Doris has worked to host a group of local senior citizens to engage in all aspects of visual arts activities. In 2025, Doris and the team accessed the DCC Community Arts Grant, which allowed them to expand the offerings to their growing cohort. Kia ora, Doris. Thank you for taking the time to come chat with us here at Aratoi On Air.
Kia ora, Amy. It's lovely to be here. And can I just say that it's not just me that's sitting here. I have behind me very much the group, and not just our current group, but the group that has been going for 60-odd years. So it's kind of all of those people
that
come with me.
So can you tell us a little bit about your art group?
Yes. We're quite a varied group. We have mainly focus on the visual arts, but we have a wide variety of artists. We have printmakers, we have painters, we have mixed media, we have bookbinders, all sorts of artists, which is really cool. And I think the really neat thing is that people will bounce ideas around with each other as well and share very much what they do. And it's intriguing that although we've got those different kind of disciplines within the visual arts, how much they overlap, and people will try and start and do different things and incorporate their own kind of discipline area into something else. So they might, you know, somebody might show how you make an explosive book, for example, which sounds a bit drastic, but it's quite cool. and then a printmaker can put what they would put on those pages, whereas a watercolourist might put what they put on those pages. So it's great.
It's a lovely cross-pollination.
Very much so. And also in terms of intergenerational cross-pollination, I guess, too, from the point of view. We do have a wide variety of ages, and we have two lots, if you like, of mums and daughters, and also during the school holidays sometimes grandkids come, and so that's really cool.
That's
so we've got a real cross-pollination of ideas and ages, and it's interesting because sometimes when the grandchildren come, they don't worry too much and don't get hung up about technique and am I doing this right? And so it's been interesting to also watch that sometimes the more formal artists among us will look and think, well, they're not very worried about making a mistake. We endeavour always to have, like, we have quite a planned program so that people know what's coming up, but there's always that opportunity to work on your own art if what is being provided isn't quite there. But it does mean, yeah, people really enter into trying different things, and it's been great to see that some of the more established artists have actually got in and tried some other different techniques that, well, they probably wouldn't have done if they'd been sitting at home.
How long has the group been going? When was it established?
I was established in 1962, so it's been going nearly 64 years, something like that. And we're lucky enough, Joan Hardy, who I was privileged enough to speak with her last week, she started it. So she's still with us. She's definitely always there in the background. And she shared that her and Ethna Kennedy started it when they were both had children at play centre, and they decided as young mums they really wanted to learn and do some art. So they started off in their kitchen.
That's amazing.
It was incredible, and they just taught themselves, and sometimes they'd have another, you know, they'd get hold of an artist who was willing to pop in and share some ideas, and then other young mums got word of what they were doing and joined in as well, and then they had to move to bigger premises.
How many members are there, and what is the age range?
We currently have 34. Our age range, I guess, we don't ask people to put age on the entry form, so we've got to take a wee bit of an estimation. Late 50s, early 60s, right up to Joan, who's 99, and will be 100 this year. So we do have a very vast age range. It's really lovely having the more mature, established, experienced artists as well who are willing to share their ideas with some of us newcomers.
So what is the central kaupapa or the values of the Wakari Art Group?
I guess what really stood out to me when I spoke with Joan was even back in those like 64 years ago, they were very much about whanaungatanga and manaakitanga. And what came through quite strongly from the way that she spoke, because she talked about that there was a member very early on, a very valued member who had multiple sclerosis. And Joan talked about how she would go and get that member from her house and push her in her wheelchair down a hill so that she got to the meeting and those gatherings every day, or every week, I should say. And it struck me that those values have very much been carried through. And it's interesting the feedback that we asked from our members earlier in March. That's those manaakitanga and whanaungatanga are the values that very much still come through, with people saying that the importance of the group is for friendship, camaraderie, that sense of having a purpose. So the art, I guess, has become a vehicle in a way for those things happening as well. The other thing that really underpins us is ako, and that learning from one another. And that ties up also with the manaakitanga in terms of, I know when I very first joined and was not an artist at all, I certainly didn't see myself as that about 4 years ago. When I was doing things, nobody ever said to me, well, that's a bit odd and those colours don't look right. It was always, wow, and have you thought about doing this? So there's a lot of that sharing within the group and encouragement. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone criticise in a negative way somebody else's work. A member that I was speaking to recently said, I came to the group once and I don't like groups, so I thought I would come and see what I think of it. And she said people were just so welcoming. She said, I've come back. And she's been now coming probably for about 6 months. So to me, that's, you know, that's a credit to the whole team, to the whole group, that we do make people feel welcome regardless of their situation and abilities. I think it's really important too to build people's confidence. So we regard all of our members of the group as artists, and it's surprising the people who maybe have not had an opportunity to exhibit before. So by having, we have an annual exhibit in the Meridian Mall, and we always encourage all our members to put something into that. And I know, again, one of our members last year who we encouraged, she sold something from that, and it was the first time she'd exhibited anywhere, and she was like, whoa, this is really cool. So it's lovely when that happens too.
So what type of art does the group practice? You mentioned briefly before.
Oh, yeah, all sorts. So we have watercolourists, we have pastel artists, we have acrylics, we have mixed media where people are doing some really interesting experimenting. We have bookbinders, we have printmakers that are starting to use a variety of ways of printmaking. So a real variety. We're not contained.
Last year you received DCC Arts funding for your weekly meetings and program to bring artists in to run workshops and sessions. What sort of programming did you provide?
Yes, that was great, and it's such a privilege that we can do that, because while we do have very experienced artists, and from time to time they will lead workshops for us, it's great to have people coming outside of the group. So we had Natalie Chetham, who's a very skilled artist in her own right, and she took us through some still life drawing, which was intriguing.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was great. We had Paul Donovan come along, he's a photographer, and he was encouraging us to use things like the smartphone to capture images and that we can then look at and think, okay, so what if we zoomed in on this image, or what if we did something else with this image? It was to encourage people to think, can you capture something and then really look at that image and think about how you might use it in your own art. So that was very cool.
What do you hope to achieve alongside members in 2026?
I really like that part of your question when you said alongside members, because it is very much members deciding the kind of directions that they want to go in as well. So it is very much alongside of. We really want to continue to grow the group so that we can really support people who are beginning artists or experienced artists but really want to get into their art but aren't sure of an environment to do that in. We'd also like to showcase our work wider. We're looking for other opportunities as well for that confidence building for our members, but also to share our art within the community. And I guess to keep our varied program with tutors coming in is very important to us.
Thank you so much for your time today, Doris, and for the work you put into creating such a rich arts program for the elders in our community. All the best for the year, and we look forward to seeing your work around the city soon.
Kia ora.
Kia ora, Doris, and kia ora, Amy Tawa, for that wonderful interview with Doris Lancaster from the Wakari Art Group. What a wonderful sounding group.
Amazing.
I'm going to have to go up there and check it out. We've been your hosts today, Aratoi On Air, with Nick Tipa and myself, Sean Norling. Hey, we're going to do this every fortnight, and these programs are rebroadcast on the subsequent Friday at 5 p.m.
Boom.
So satisfying. Look, in the meantime, you can get hold of us. We're located at the Dunedin City Council in the Creative Partnerships team. Probably in 2026, though, you might just want to get at us on our social handles.
And if you're hungry for more of Aratoi On Air, then the entire of last season is also available to listen to on wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah. And big shout outs to Otago Access Radio for hosting this program, oar.org.nz, 105.4 FM Dunedin is where you should be tuned to forever. We'll see you again in a fortnight's time. Until then, take care, have fun, be creative.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.